Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Hi, folks. You want to save some money using promo code THELASTDROP? Of course you do. So head over to manscaped.com. Manscaped Performance Package is the best men's hygiene bundle you could ever receive. First off, you get the Weed Whacker, which is the electric nose and ear hair trimmer. I absolutely love this thing and have been using it regularly since I received the 4.0 Performance Package. But that's not all. You also get a pair of underwear that are just oh so comfortable, and I would know because I'm wearing them as we speak. You also receive the ball deodorant, which protects your family jewels from smelling like holiday drools. You also get the ball toner, which is a quick pick-me-up for whenever you want to introduce some style to your balls, and it's good for you when you're on the road. And last but not least, you receive the Lawnmower 4.0. This beauty is the personification of keeping your balls trimmed to perfection. It's cordless, it's waterproof, it comes with a 4000K LED spotlight to make sure you don't miss an inch of hair on those balls. This bad boy has specifically engineered ceramic blades to help cut through thick hair while reducing pulling, nicks, or cuts. Trust me on this, your balls will thank you. And that's not all. When you go to checkout, you can use promo code THELASTDROP, THELASTDROP, to receive 20% off. That's The Last Drop, THELASTDROP, at manscaped.com. As we always say, don't stop, keep pouring. Well, we're now also saying, don't stop, keep shaving, because your balls will thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome to another edition here of The Last Drop. I am your godfather of whiskey. I am JB. And it is a new month bestowed upon us, or whatever. We just finished or wrapped up tequila month. And I'm running solo today, by the way, again. Cody's out handling his business like usually, but he'll be back next week, whatever, to continue this beautiful thing we're calling Rum Month right now. And also to get, I think number five now? Or is it number six? To give off number five or number six hip-hop MC list, if you will, to continue to celebrating the 50th anniversary, 50 years of this wonderful genre we call hip-hop. But it is the month of August, and this month we are doing rum. So we're calling it a Rum Month as well. Tequila Month was huge success in my eyes. I mean, I don't think I had not one bad tequila on that whole show. So, and I think I had a way crap ton of Last Drops on the show there. So, I'm not going to be long. I'm going to give my, hold on, let me think about this now. March, April, May, June, July, August. So, yes, this is number six, then. Our six hip-hop artists of the 50 years. Top MCs of all time, if you will. I'm giving my number six today. Also, I'm going to be drinking some beautiful rum here. Very affordable rum, too, I must say. Ooh, okay. And let's kick this bad boy off. I'm going to try to keep it in between the 25-30 minute range, but I like to talk. I like to talk a lot. That was really good. Okay. Anyway, so with that further said, I hope y'all enjoyed Tequila Month. That was a damn good month. I mean, I've been drinking tequila for the longest now. And I'm already looking at new bottles now to buy and stuff. So, yeah, out with the old and with the new. Like I said, starting next year, tequila is going to become an actual week. It's going to actually be like a second edition of Mix and Match Week, you know. So, going to rotate the actual mix and match to the end of the month. And that way, you could mix it and match with beer, whiskey, or tequila, you know. It's funny because we thought Armagnac might have taken that place, whatever, but it really hasn't. Obviously, Armagnac's not that popular in the States, and it's really not that much unless you go to K&L, realistically. And personally, I don't think the prices even compare to tequila, to be honest. So, plus, I think tequila just has a bigger world when you get into Blancos, Reposados, Añejo, and Extra Añejos and stuff like that. Damn, this ice is melting fast as shit. So, what I'm drinking here, I think I might just start with that. Yeah, I'm going to start with this. So what I'm drinking here is I got some of Bruno Mars Selva Rey White Rum. First of all, I just want to talk about presentations.
The bottle itself is gorgeous as hell. I mean, it stands out like crazy. It's got that bird on there, looking like that movie Rio, with the little gold medallion. And there's three different variants of this bottle, too, if I'm not mistaken. So the owner, I got my mother all four of them. Was that last Christmas? And they're all very affordable, except for the owner reserve one. That one, which I think just went up in price, too, if I'm not mistaken. It's now $200. I think it was like $160, somewhere around that range. But there's a chocolate rum, which is the second most expensive. And there's a coconut-flavored rum, and then there's a white rum. And the white rum is the clearest out of all of them. Although, I haven't tried the Owner's Reserve rum yet, so... Actually, I haven't tried any of these yet, except for the white rum. And I mixed that with a cocktail. I was making cocktails for the ladies and stuff like that. So, and they're very affordable. You can get these anywhere. I'm seeing them all over the place now. This white rum was $29.99 for a 7/5 milliliter bottle. Beautiful. I love the top on it with the tape around it and the gold emblem on it. The text on it. The font looks great. $29.99. You can't beat that price. The coconut flavored rum was $30.99 and the chocolate rum was $37.99. And like I said, the Owner Reserve rum is now $200. I don't even know what that one tastes like. I like I said, I have bought all four of these bottles. Technically, I gave them to my mother, but I did keep one of them for myself because I did buy two of them whenever. So I got two glasses here, and what I did was I got one in a standard long stem tasting glass, you know, and I just poured it straight from there. And then I have another one here because it's hot as fuck. And it probably wasn't the best idea, but I stuck four ice cubes in here, and those fuckers are melted like crazy. I literally just put them in there, and they're melted like crazy now. And I stuck one with some ice in there just to see what it would taste like differently. And on the nose, this shit's beautiful. Now, the one with the ice, I don't really give a shit about that one. It doesn't really have any scent to it because the ice is already fermented, but I'm going to start sipping on this one. I'm going to sip through this one throughout the show mainly. That's good rum right there. So this is probably, God, I'm trying to think, the second or third celebrity pour ever done on this show here. Because I've done the Dos Hombres, which was obviously Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul's mezcal. Did that last October, actually. And that was pretty good. That was probably the only decent mezcal that whole month, actually. And also, I credit those guys for... going out of their way and picking a spirit that really wasn't that popular and it's kind of got like its own niche little audience and stuff like that. But Bryan Cranston knows his fucking cocktail, his mezcal, so I completely understand where that came from. This rum here, Bruno Mars, I mean, this came out in 2021. He's just been killing it for coming out to me. I mean, I thought he had album of the year with Silk Sonic. His music has just been phenomenal. I mean, I personally, I think he's just stepped it up to another level. That Silk Sonic album, the biggest crime of that album, it was only like 9 or 10 tracks on it. But it was perfect. The two singles on there were hits. Leave the Door Open and Smoking Out the Window is just... That's one of those songs. You can play that shit anytime, any day, party, club, lounge, relaxing, shower, outside in the yard working. I mean, it is... just that big of a hit. I think it's that damn good. I personally don't want to see him or Anderson .Paak work solo anymore. Anderson .Paak, actually, I'm fine with or whatever, because he makes like good music in general or whatever, and plus I love the stuff he produces, because he produced the Leon Bridges album, which I thought was a damn good album too. But he's just incredible. I mean, he's this generation's Pharrell Williams. He's just all over the place and everything, but Silk Sonic is just something special about that album. You know, he's Smoking Out the Window. Just like this. Well, Bruno Mars also got this rum out. And I don't know if it's popular per se, because I live in California, and California's not really all that, you know, into rum like that. We have a lot of tiki bars, but you just don't see these type of spirits, if you will, as often as you would like to. You'll see the bullshit ones like El Dorado. Piece of shit. We'll talk about that a different time here. But, so, god damn, dude. On the nose, this thing is just heavenly beautiful. Like, it is, like... It, first of all, the color, like, I with definitely Tequila Month, I don't judge a book by its color, but, like, it looks like it looks like a white wine in the color of this glass right here. I mean, it's got that nice little milky flavor or milky look color to it, or, you know, like a rice milk color. I mean, it actually doesn't look that bad or whatever, you know, so... There's just... On the nose, man, there is just so much vanilla on this. You know what it smells like? A vanilla custard. Oh, it is so white, silky, smooth right there. It's, some gentle spices there, you know. You can smell like it's got this creaminess to it, or, you know, and a lot like some mellow sweetness as well, too. I love the smell of this. The alcohol level on this is, I think the chocolate is actually 70%. This one is, 70%, 70 ABV. This one is 40 ABV. It's 80 proof right here. It doesn't smell like it neither. It's got a nice strong scent to it as well. Oh, man. Ooh, man. I love that scent. Smoking out the window. I need a Silk Sonic album out number 2, because come on now. Let's sip this bad boy. First, let's sip the one with the ice in it. Oh, no, I'll take that back. Let's sip this one first. I don't want to fuck up my taste buds here. Vanilla custard. It's very creamy. Got this citrus note to it. I can't tell if that's like a lime or something like that. Like a lime citrus now. Hold on. It is a mouthful of sweetness too. Oh man. It's got this nice little charm to it. It's a little dry as well, too. I'm not kind of shocking because of how creamy it is. But it dries up on the back end right there. Oh. This is really good. It's so smooth, too. It's clean on the back end finish. A lot of complexity there. I immediately think of like desserts, whipped cream, vanilla. The dryness on it is a little shocking just because of how creamy it is and how much it like dries up really, but it lingers with a vanilla finish in it. Hold on, what's those drinks called? Cream soda? I bet this goes well with the first thing that pops in my head is just cocktails right away. Like I think of like a cream soda with this would go well. I think like something with like a cherry Coke type flavor, something with some cherries in there would open up some sweetness. This is really good, I gotta say. God damn, this is really good. This is really good. So this was again was a blend of 3-year-old and 5-year-old rums filtered to white. Very clean on the nose, like I said, clean on the finish as well. There's no harshness on this at all. That's what I was expecting. I don't really have too many experiences, though, drinking too much white rums. I always thought white rums kind of, yeah. I love this vanilla note. It's very gentle. It's very subtle. It's got like this cotton candy feel to it. There's some subtle hints in there of fruit. And the one I'm mainly picking up is like, I think that citrus is more of a lemony citrus now over the lime. But the fruit, and although I do think that there's just my mind playing tricks on me with thinking of cocktails and stuff like that. But tropical fruits, by the way. I I'm kind of shocked by this note, but I haven't tried the other one. There's coconut in this as well, too. And what I mean by that, because there is a coconut-flavored one, so I'm almost curious as to what that one tastes like. Probably less vanilla, more coconut, but this one's very... Excuse me. This one's really on the palate. There's just some coconut character right there. Milk chocolate, coconut, vanilla. My three main ingredients I'm getting there. With a subtle hint, some tropical fruit. Very savory, too. Very savory. So you know there's some sugar in there as well, too. This is a solid pour. I really don't know what to expect out of these rums. Me not drinking as many rums as I'd like to. I used to drink a lot of rum back in the day. Especially when I was going to Puerto Rico a lot. And then, I'll try to remember. Oh, let's try this with the ice in it. Hold on, let's see. Ooh. Okay, with the ice, it really strengthens the coconut flavor. That coconut flavor is, the milk and the coconut is just like present right there. It almost kind of takes, I wouldn't say it pushes the back seat on the vanilla part because the vanilla is still there. It's just kind of more in the background per se. It makes it way more creamier too. Mmm. Wow. I think you're getting something totally different here with the ice on it. It feels more aromatic with the ice, and whereas in with the neat glass here, it's a little bit more drier, grassier tones, if you will. Obviously, with the ice, it's way more chilled, especially on the. It tastes like white chocolate. I was trying to think of that note right there. I was like, that tastes like white chocolate. Like a white chocolate ice cream, too. A little hint of, yeah, this one with the ice in it is just... Wow, that's very savory. I feel like it's the combination of the chocolate and coconut ones mixed together. I might have to open those bad boys up and try them next to it. So, the one with the ice really comes off as refreshing. And the one that's neat, I feel like you can just drink that as like a sipping method for rum. And it's just nice and easy as well, too. Almost, I will say the ice kind of opens it up a little bit more. Although I do like mine, prefer mine room temperature, just because I prefer the heat on it. There's something about the creaminess on the palate, on the neat glass compared to the ice, where I think, it's the chill factor of it. I think the creaminess on the neat just feels a little bit better because it tastes like, I think it's much sweeter, to be honest, actually. I think it's way sweeter on the neat compared to on the rocks. Yeah, I'm enjoying the hell out of that. Yeah. I'm liking this a lot. This is really damn good. $29, too. You can't beat that. That is really good. I don't know what the standard of white rums are or anything like that, but... Silveray. That boy Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno. We do on this show right now. That boy got talent. That boy can sing. That boy can he can dance a little ass off. He can smoke a cigarette like nobody's business while he's smoking out the window. He formed a great group and he makes some delicious ass rums that I see Anderson .Paak also constantly promoting as well too, because they go hand in hand with each other. Silk Sonic and Selva Ray Rum. That sounds like a match made in heaven right there. On the rocks, it's not as hot. It's like that, but it has that aftertaste heatness on it. Whereas on the neat glass, on the neat pour, it's just the heat is like kind of more well-rounded to me as well. I think that the On the Rocks brings out the chocolate flavors a little bit more, but I like what the neat glass does as far as keeping it kind of more well-rounded and proficient. So, yeah, this is a win right here. I'm enjoying the hell out of this. Actually, the only... Actually, I have no negatives on this. I was going to say something negative about this, but I actually don't have any negative things to say about this. I was going to say, oh, maybe the finish, but no, the finish is actually pretty good. I love that smoothness it has with a lot of hints of vanilla in there, and then you get that back hint of a little bit of chocolate, like milk chocolate maybe or whatever, so I kind of like that. It's very flavorful. It's got a lot of complexity to it. It's very unique. I mean, shit, this... I hate to keep giving everything a last drop, but... This sounds like a last drop, to be honest. I mean, you know what? Let me take that back. Actually, no, I don't take that back. Because I was thinking, like, usually last drops make my top 10. Granted, I mean, it could make my top 10 or whatever. But, like, I don't see this as top 10 worthy. And maybe it's because I haven't tried a lot of white rums out there and I find out that there's much betters out there. But this is pretty damn good. And I really don't have any flaws about it. The presentation, the packaging, the price, the pours itself... the flavor profile on it. It's everything is just like hitting everything you wanted. So you know what? Fuck it. It's the last drop for me. This is pretty damn good. And if you're new to the show, a last drop basically, that's like the best of the best rating we could give on here. You know, we start from well, if you're really bad, you get like a 21-21. That's because that rapper is so bad. And then you get like kind of a fuck it. And then you start your way from 1. You get 1.5, 2.5, 3.5, and then the finale of all that is just the last drop. I mean, the last drop means, would I buy this again? Hell yeah, would I buy this again? Would I pour it again? Hell yeah, I'd pour it again. Would I share this with friends? Hell yeah, I'd share this with friends. Necessarily probably wouldn't share with a lot of my friends. A lot of them are whiskey drinkers, but I'm almost certain if I shared this with, like, colleagues and stuff like that, people I work with, they'd be open up to this. It's pretty damn good. That's a last drop for me. That's delicious. It's hitting all the rail bounds. I'm loving this milk chocolate flavor, coconut flavors on there, the creaminess on there. I love it. Not too harsh. Doesn't have a lot of harshness to it. It doesn't taste as bitter. The aftertaste of it is real smooth and clean. And I love the finish, too. I'm tasting vanillas and milk right now. Milk. A little subtle hints of chocolate right there. So, yeah. I shouldn't make this comment, but one of the best bargain rums you can get out there. Silver Ray, white rum. Go get you a bottle. So, man, that's pretty good. So. Let's talk about my number 6 now. And I'll keep this real short because I'm already at the 23 minutes here mark here. But my number six artist on here is going to be the one and only, my first West Coast artist here on the list, because I've been nothing but East Coasters. My first and probably only West Coaster, but who knows? Maybe there's a S-N-double-O-P-D. Maybe he might make it on there. But my number one is born and raised Compton, California. My hometown as well, too. That's Ice Cube. Ice Cube is my number 6 on my list here. Ice Cube, for me, was the definitive, reluctant... I'm not gonna say Godfather because that's reserved for Ice-T, but he was like the 90s version of gangster hip-hop to me and what it was. But he was that gangster hip-hop that had a lot of subtle hints, meaning, and realistically kind of gave the storytelling about what I saw in the 90s growing up in Compton, California as well too. And he really came off to me as, his storytelling was like East Coast rapping style, but his rawness, his grittiness, his toughness, and the way he spit his lyrics out, whatever, just screamed West Coast. So I really appreciated that, especially growing up listening to N.W.A. and, you know, realizing that, you know, he wrote N.W.A.'s rhymes. And it's proven, too, because after he left, that group sucked ass through a straw, you know. I mean, they were fucking terrible. We're looking at hits. First of all, his first two albums. I guess maybe we should go back to the N.W.A. realistically. N.W.A. that he formed with Eazy-E, with Dr. Dre. They've got Eazy-E, Rant, and Yella. DJ Yellow. I'll never forget No Vaseline. I'm sorry. So, his first single coming out straight out of Compton. Classic. I mean, I've heard so many cities rip that song, sample that song off or whatever with that beat, and straight out of, even people in Queens, Bronx, Philly have done it, whatever, straight out of Philly, they're straight out of Queens, Queensbridge, straight out of the Bronx. You know, I've heard so many different variations of this song, whatever. It's one of the most all-time classic hits of classic hits right there. And it's pretty fucking dope, if you will. And, I mean, how could you not like Fuck the Police? You know, I mean, let's be real. Straight Outta Compton is that album of, I was looking at it right now. Hold on. Let's see if I can...
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
That just switches it straight out of Compton. I do really like this song a lot.
Straight Outta Compton, a crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube. Like gumbo. Going up on the motherfucker like that. With a gas that's pointed at your ass. So give it up smooth. Ain't no telling when I'm down for a jack move. There's a mother at the keep ya dancing. With a crime record like Charles Manson. AK-47 is a tool. Don't make me act a motherfucking fool. Me, you can go toe to toe, no make. I'm knocking niggas out the box daily. Yo, weekly, monthly, and yearly. Until them dumb motherfuckers see clearly.
That I'm down. With a capital CPT.
Boy, you can't fuck with me. So when I'm in your
neighborhood, you better duck.
Cause Ice Cube is crazy as fuck. As I leave, believe I'm starving. But when I come back, boy,
I'm coming straight out of Compton.
That was just like, when I first heard that, I remember just going like, man. Cause I was an East Coaster guy as far as when it came to hip hop. When I heard that, I was just like, that is, god damn, that's what I was looking for. I mean, it was literally like, listening to, especially because, you know, like I said, I'm from Compton. It's where most of all the rappers from L.A. that L.A. loves to claim. L.A. ain't got shit, by the way. They all come from Compton, Long Beach area, basically, whatever. So that's why it's hilarious to me when the Super Bowl happened. It's like Super Bowl goes Hollywood, yeah, with a bunch of L.A. and Long Beach, Compton and Long Beach rappers in it. I just found that hilarious, you know. And being a kid growing up from this neighborhood, you know, seeing everything that they were talking about and stuff like that, I just thought it was so dope and shit. Because, like, I didn't have to picture it like I did with, like Nas, man. He paints pictures like crazy. I didn't grow up in Queens, New York and stuff, so I could just visually see it in my head or whatever. But seeing it's great having someone like Ice Cube just describe what he sees. And, like, I didn't have to visually see it because I was seeing it just on a walk from school or something like that. I thought it was just fantastic. He came out with his first album solo in 1990. It was America's Most Wanted, fucking classic album. I even love what he threw with the K's in that album. But, you know, people to quote his first two albums, he went three, well, actually he went four back, because Lethal Injection came out in 1993. He went four albums year to year. I mean, like I said, America's Most Wanted, Death Certificate came out in 1991. That's when he left, that's when he took on NWA when he left the group and just bodied them. And probably, I mean, it is a toss-up between this and Ether. Which is fucking crazy to me, because I heard Charlamagne say something one time, which I thought was the most stupidest comment I think he ever made. Well, he makes a lot of stupid comments or whatever, but he said something about, like, he didn't like Ether because of some of the comments that was made in the song and stuff like that. And but then he goes on to say that Hit 'Em Up and No Vaseline is the two best diss tracks, which was crazy to me because he was talking about, like, homophobia and stuff like that in Ether. And I was just like, you do realize that No Vaseline is basically about Eazy-E getting fucked in his ass by the rest of the group, right? And then Hit 'Em Up, that song is horrible. All right, I'm just going to be honest with you. Other than, like, Tupac's line, verse is great. I actually think his verse is great. But then a bunch of random dudes you don't even give a shit about just show up, and he's just like, this song is horrible. And then the song is promoting at the end or whatever is, I hope you die, Biggie. I hope I put a bullet in your head. Which was basically what Charlamagne was saying. Yeah, I didn't like that. I don't like that type of stuff. But yeah, he goes on and makes this asinine comment, or whatever. So I just think he just makes some of the stupidest fucking comments ever. Shout out to my boy Yoon, because Yoon don't like his ass neither, because of his stupid ass comments. No Vaseline. Jesus Christ. Jeez. I mean, you want to talk about diss tracks? I mean, I don't even know if I can play some of this on here because.
Fuck all y'all. Goddamn, I'm glad y'all set it off.
Used to be hard, now you just run us off. Heard you was down with the AK. And now I see you in a video with Michelin, looking like straight bozos. I saw it coming, that's why I went solo. God, feel so. Well, y'all, let's straight out of Compton. Listen, what the? Okay. I was like, all right, he's about to start talking about getting nice. One big house, and not another nigga in sight. I started off with too much cargo. Truck boy, niggas out picking all the dough. White man just pulled it. The niggas with attitude. Who you fooling? Hey yo, Dre, stick to producing. Call me on a fuck you been again. But I'm a man, and ain't nobody helping me. But you don't come close. Cause you know I'm the one that broke it. I run 100 miles, but I still got one to go. With the L-E-N-C-H-U-P, y'all disgrace the CPT. Cause you give a fuck that you're green by white boy.
Oh shit.
Jesus Christ. I love in Straight Outta Compton the movie this sequence right here, and they show like NWA sitting on the couch listening to this with what's his name that played Jerry? Fuck, who was that guy, that actor's name? I forgot. He was perfect for that role, by the way, because his facial expressions are just great. I can't believe I'm blanking his name. He was the dude that got me and Yoon introduced into Cavalon on his show, Billions. Is that Paul Giamatti? Paul Giamatti. I hope that's who's playing that in Straight Outta Compton, but he was, like, perfect, because he was just seething and shit. Like, he just, like, it's fucking racist. He was like, you can tell Ice Cube hit some tunes there that the group didn't like. And I think it was Ren that was writing their rhymes after Cube had left. And Ren, Ren, no disrespect, but you sucked ass at writing rhymes. I mean, you didn't know what a pen and a paper even equal to. And funny enough, I think Ice Cube didn't even write his rhymes when he was there, too. And Ren was writing his own stuff. And it shows, too, very, very, very vividly. So then he came out with his next album after that was The Predator, which I think is a slept-on album. Because it has, personally, I think it has one of Ice Cube's best singles on there, which was It Was a Good Day on there. I mean, that track is legendary. That is like, you know, that is like Nas's If I Ruled the World. This is like Wu-Tang's Cream. This is like Eric B. and Rakim, Don't Sweat the Technique. I mean, this is Ice Cube's... I'm trying to think of something. This is his Beethoven of hip hop right here, as far as his song. And he's had a shit ton of singles too. Like every one of his albums had like a single that was on the radio and some movie that was just popular as hell. I think It Was a Good Day though, which is
basketball. Keep me on the court. Didn't even get no static from the cowards. Cause just yesterday, them fools tried to blast me. Saw the police and they rolled right past me.
You know what I loved about Ice Cube's music, too, though? Like, he was one of the originators. Especially one of the originators of the West Coast that I know of, at least. I probably missed some cats that were, like, early on and stuff like that. But, you know, he was one of those big-time artists or whatever that really, in his rhymes, elemented the problem with the police and the black community, especially with the hip-hop community as well, growing up in those 90s and stuff, you know. I remember, because, you know, Compton, we lost the police department, and the sheriff department moved in. They were just as big as crooks as anybody else that you could know of, you know. I mean, I would have them constantly pull me over in front of the house or whatever, walking from school or whatever, asking me why am I not in school and shit like that or whatever. And it's just like, you fucking kidding me? Like, it's after 3, you know? It's like 4 o'clock, you know? So, that was one of the reasons why I always connected with Ice Cube and his music. And even up until today, you know, he's still making albums and he makes tracks too. Like, you know, like Arrest the President, Good Cop, Bad Cop. I mean, he's still living on those morals of like talking about how the police violence is just still... Nothing's really changed as far as it comes to the black community, hip-hop community, and the police. So he was a very vocal forefront of police brutality within the community. So always respecting him for that. Ice Cube's my number 6. I could go on and on or whatever, but like I said, I want to try to keep this as... I think I said 25 to 30 minutes, right? I'm already over 35 minutes, but... Ice Cube's my number 6, man. One of the GOATs of the West Coast. And still doing his thing today. I think he's like... in his 50s, if I'm not mistaken. It should be like... probably. Hold on, let me look this up now. He's probably like 54? Let's look it up. 1969 he was born in. Yeah, he's 54, yeah. June 15th, week after my birthday. I was June 7th. So, yeah, no wonder we relate. Funny story is, when I was in Japan, people thought I was him. Well, I shouldn't say people. This one person thought I was him. He just would not take no for an answer. So I said, fuck it, I guess I am. There you go. Damn, he's been with his wife since 19... They've been married since 1992? Shit. Okay, well, he got 4 kids out of his lovely wife. So his wife is gorgeous. Got a great family. Dude is... I don't know if he helped produce the new Ninja Turtle movie or anything like that, but I know he's in it. So, dude became all-time when he was making his movies and stuff like that. And he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is always a nice little niche on the shoulder. He was inducted back in 2016 with the rest of NWA. And rightfully so. Rightfully deserved. So... that is the show, people. Hope you enjoyed my Selva Ray White Rum review. And also my very brief introduction into my number 6 MC of all time. As we talk about celebrating the 50 years of hip-hop here. So I'm going to get out of here now. I've been going for 37 minutes. Like I said, I wanted to keep this real short, but it went on longer than I much anticipated, like it normally does, because I like talking a lot. Check out some Ice Cube tracks. I mainly say go back to his first 3 albums, but you can even go back to the War and Peace albums. There's some good singles on there as well, too. Obviously, you got to listen to America's Most Wanted. Great fucking album. Death Certificate, to me, was even better than America's Most Wanted. I think The Predator is also a slept on album too as well. There's a lot of good tracks on there. So get you some Selva Ray Rum, listen to some Silk Sonic, and then, because that album's so damn short, probably like 30 minutes long, you can just go ahead and listen to Death Certificate after that. And then get your Monday working right, you know? Get your work week going, listening to The Last Drop. With that said, people, thank you for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Hope you enjoyed last month's tequila festivities. That was fun as hell. Hopefully, I don't think a rum is going to be as exciting like that or whatever, but tequila was very exciting. So, with that said, I'm your godfather of whiskey. I am JB. And I will be back next week with Cody to talk about his number 6 MC of all time and also his rum choice of the week. Thank you for tuning in. And as we always say, livers will never be the same and glasses will never be dry.